Record.
Do you want to open it?
Sure. Hello and welcome to the Happy Project Podcast. We're thankful.
Amen. Why did you say we're thankful?
I don't know. It just kind of rolled off the tongue.
We're what thankful. Are we thankful for?
I was going to say.
We're thankful you're all gathered here today.
No, we're thankful that you are joining us today.
No, that was nice. Well, okay. Introduce yourself now.
My name is Cedric. Sky Seti. And sitting across the table, literally 2 feet away from me, is the lovely co-host, or host, and I'm the co-host, Becky. And this is this, like, I haven't opened for the podcast in a long time. Yeah. And this is exactly
this is why. Yeah. I think tried it a few times and then it was just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was, I liked it. It was very excellent.
Anyways,
we're out here.
Y'all out here.
Y'all out here.
And we're doing our Happy Project thing.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, we're happy to be with everyone today. And we have a very interesting topic that we're going to talk about. We're going to…
What are we going to do first?
We're going to talk about how we're doing.
Oh, we're thankful.
We're thankful. Grateful.
Grateful.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I am thinking about Suriname. The TV show.
Yes,
that
you
came
did
out
watch
on Netflix.
It.
I watched the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys been watching Suriname? I'd be interested if anyone out there is listening, has been watching that show. It's fun. But I think because we just finished watching Breaking Bad, I can't stop seeing parallels now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, the Moksanim, he's like Gus Fring.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy, he's like Walt. You know, I'm like, it's the whole thing.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but… I don't know. Are you going to like continue to watch it?
Yeah, definitely. Because I love the main actor. I like the pastor.
Why?
He's such a great actor.
He's cute.
Remember? He's like charm. He's like one of those charming faces that you just like. It's like Tom Hanks. You don't look at Tom Hanks, you're like, whoa, handsome guy. Right? But he's so
That's
attractive.
True. I got you.
Yeah, there's some kind of like attractiveness to him. So he's like that. You know, he was in, remember I told you about it, Petarang, that movie Veteran? Anyway, I think I told you about this a long time ago. Okay, you guys know who it is. All right, anyway, we're thankful.
We're thankful. We're blessed.
Amen. All right, so today we're going to talk about international couples, 국제 couple.
Yeah, think about these things first.
Think about these things first. Now, undoubtedly, a lot of people who are tuning in are 국제 couple.
Yeah.
Or in the international relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're not in one…
Then get out of here.
Most of you are products of one in some way.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yes.
People who are listening. That just comes with this territory. But we wanted to talk about international couples. And us, both of us being products of such. And having… witnessed the meteoric rise of the popularity of international couples.
Mm, yeah.
And just the things that we have thought about and what we think you should think about too.
Absolutely. Yeah. The last, I would say, decade or so, especially on YouTube, I think especially, man, there's international couples everywhere. And I remember a couple of years ago, like, you would just start a channel and just like, you know, have, you could be like a foreign, you know, girl and you got your Korean boyfriend, do one video and you get like 200,000 views on your first video.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was just madness.
Right. It was weird.
Yeah. And we kind of hopped on that trend a little bit.
Yeah, we were doing a little bit of that, weren't we? On Sky
City. Even though like technically we're not even international couples because we're… It's
we're
weird.
We're more interracial couple, I think.
Yeah, interracial, intraracial, as
we
used to say.
Yeah, intraracial.
Yeah, but it was just, we hopped on it. Just, you know, we tried to get on that bandwagon of at least getting eyeballs on our content.
It didn't work, but that's
not
okay.
Not as much as theirs because we don't do pranks on each other.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, we were keeping it real. But so international couples, it's been weird to see how popular they became. And I think I fluctuate on how I feel about it. Because half of the time I'm like, this is so great. I'm so happy we're seeing more international couples and, you know, people are seeing people from all over the world. You can fall in love and make a happy home together. That's one hand. And then, and then I will, you know, flip the screen and I'll see a couple that I'm like, this is ridiculous behavior and this is not really what it's like. And you're glorifying the wrong things and, you know, being totally judgmental and all of that. But I guess that just happens when it gets trendy and popular. You don't actually see the real life of what it's like to be in an interracial, international relationship.
Yeah. You see the filtered version and that's just a natural thing on social media or on, you know, TV, YouTube, anything.
Yeah.
Everything's edited down and you show what you want to show.
Exactly. So coming from our own personal experiences, these are some things you should think about. Now, let's say that you are planning on getting married to somebody who is not from your country and you have very different cultures and different languages and different upbringings, different ways of thinking, different value systems, right? You got to think about these things. I think being in a relationship itself is already difficult. Think about your own friend groups. How many friends do you have who are completely 100% different from you in some of the most major aspects of your life? Most of the time you become friends with somebody because you have something in common, right?
Right.
But love can work in a funny way. I think you can fall in love with your absolute opposite sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, you do have to share some things. But something, if you are in an international couple, something that you've probably come across already is family. Balancing the family act, right? How do you interact with your other's family?
Yeah. And this is probably one
this
of the
major
bigger thing. Ones. Yeah. I mean, obviously there are very like different scenarios and nuances and different types of cultures. I guess we'll stick to talking a little bit more about like the Korean aspect and, you know, and the other aspect. But I mean, yeah, family, you know, like you have to deal with or be introduced to the significant other's family's values and how they see life, how they see relationships. Do they expect their daughter or son to meet and date and marry a certain type of person?
Exactly, yeah.
Are they open to people that are different or cultures that are different?
Yeah.
I mean, these are all things that should be considered because not every culture is as open as as others.
Right, right. And also family, the thing is, if we're talking about Korean specifically, which I guess we should honestly, family is very important. We say you marry families. It's not really individuals getting married to each other. And we definitely know couples who have fallen apart because family members could not accept the fact that their son or daughter was marrying somebody who was not, let's say, Korean, right? Or not white. And so how important your family is to you, that is something that you got to keep in mind because this is some. These are people who will be with you for the rest of your life, right?
Absolutely.
And that can definitely cause either great joy or great suffering. And the other thing to remember with family too is if you're an international couple, you might not see some family members for a long time. And this could be even as close as your own parents, just depending on where you live. And so that's something to consider like, okay, how often will we see our parents or his parents or, you know, other family members? How will our children see their grandparents? Is that going to be important to you? Is that something to think about? And I'm sure a lot of people who are in international relationships have encountered this or think about this already. But probably just because it's more prevalent now, to be honest.
Right. And while we're on the, I know we're going to touch on this a little bit later, but while we're talking about family and parents specifically, like there could be that decision making of where are we going to settle down? Like, are we going to settle down in my country or your country? Which, yeah, assuming that your families live in your respective countries, right? Are we, you know, and because there could be a possibility, and this is going off of my observations, there could be a possibility of maybe a little bit of jealousy or like even like a resentment that could build because we're living near my family and, you know, your significant other is like, well, we don't really get time to spend with my family. Our kids don't grow up around my parents. Or they won't know that side of the family or culture. And it could be a little, you know, challenging in that way.
Yeah. Especially how your own communication with, let's say, your own parents are. Say your communication with your parents isn't very open as it is. And then resentment grows on top of that, or feeling disappointment and nobody is communicating that with each other. It can be really hard to resolve those things, especially if it carries on for a couple of years. Now, things have changed, of course, with the way the world has, in a way, shrunk. You can talk on the phone, you can FaceTime, you can Zoom, you can even hop on a plane, you can visit a lot sooner. Well, I guess we're talking pre-COVID era, but I guess the barriers between countries are not as, it doesn't seem so impenetrable, right? But however, think about just one generation ago, and I'm speaking about my own family, that we were not able to see my Korean family for many, many years, or it would be far and few in between. And that affects how close you are with people. That can affect maybe the way my parents might have felt also about, oh, being in touch with grandparents, or how often should we see them? Oh, I wish I could see them. And that is something that can build over time. So I think family is, it's an important thing, really an important thing to consider.
Yeah, definitely. But there are also like very good aspects of family in terms of, especially if both families, or at least, you know, one side is very open, like you get to experience a whole nother way of like living and get to see how like not only just another culture, but like how your significant other grew up.
Yeah.
Right. You get to participate in maybe different types of holidays. I mean, that could be good or bad.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? But yeah, like and it could just be a whole new unique set of experiences. You could have like two sets of holidays you celebrate throughout the year instead of just like the ones you're used to.
Yeah, of course.
So there's a lot of cool things about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just something to consider for sure.
And I think we're saying this also from the angle of us being kids of this kind of relationship, because it affects your children.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, at least for me, definitely, I've thought about that a lot. And you know, that affects me regularly. So I think that is just something, you know, affects your children, not just you. The other thing, well, I guess what comes with family is like language barriers, right? Which could be a good or a bad thing, depending on how much you want to talk to your mother-in-law.
Yeah. Right? I mean, not only just with the family, but even with your significant other.
Yeah,
I mean, there
are
a lot of international couples. And my parents were actually one of them, where my
I still think about that. How did your parents communicate?
Yeah, they just did, you know, but it was very simple communication.
Yeah.
But my dad spoke English, spoke very little Korean to my knowledge. I mean, and then my mom, she basically tried to speak the best English she could to my dad. And her English is actually quite limited.
Yeah.
You know, especially for being in the States for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
She did try, by the way, but she moved there when she was almost 30.
Yeah.
So language is a big thing, even amongst just you and your significant other, because if you can't really communicate with each other. And what is communication? It's being able to like, you know,
understand.
Give and take and understand ultimately. So how you go about it is a little less important than, you know, just being the most exquisite communicator, right?
Yeah.
Exquisite.
We are
articulate.
Thankful.
Yeah. I'm full of words today.
Yeah. Yes,
but,
you are.
Yeah. So that is something to definitely consider. I'm in the camp of you don't have to necessarily be ultra fluent in, you know… either language, as long as you can communicate in a healthy way.
I think it's the desire to communicate has to be first and foremost, right?
Yeah.
You gotta want to understand the other person.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know people who their primary way of communicating with each other in their international relationships is through both of their secondary languages.
Right.
But they're both fluent enough to be able to like communicate in that way just fine. And that's a unique international setup as well, because you're not even using one or the other's primary language.
Right,
it's the secondary language.
Yeah. In a way, doesn't that feel more fair? Like it kind of puts you on equal footing.
It does. So there are advantages and disadvantages to that too.
But I do think the most important thing is just having a desire to communicate.
Yeah.
In that case, language barriers, really, they're not so impenetrable either.
Yeah. But just keep in mind that there are many nuances that any language brings. Mm-hmm. And when that is missing, that can open the door for miscommunication or misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe it comes down to the individual person in that case then, right? How much do you value being able to fully grasp all those nuances.
Yeah.
Right. Some people, I think they don't really care as long as you guys are living well and happily together,
sure.
you know? So yeah, that comes up to the individual. So the next thing I wanted to touch on too is acceptance. How much are you willing to accept?
All the little cultural quirks.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? This yeah. reminded me. I watched this video where it was like interracial couples, and some of them are international couples. I think primarily were. And they were asking them questions, and then, you know, each would respond how they did. And one question, it seemed very silly, but now when I watched it, it was so enlightening, where the interviewer asked both of the couple, what is an interesting cleaning trait or washing trait that you have? Like how you wash. And there would be, you know, the guy would be like, oh yeah, of course, I washed all my legs. And the girl was like, you wash your legs?
What?
I know. And he was like, yeah, of course you scrub. You got to wash. You got to scrub your legs. She's like, oh, well, the soap is going to run down anyway.
What?
I know. And he looked like, oh.
Is that a cultural thing? Or is that like
I don't
a
know.
Personal
so
thing?
That was like, well, she was German and yeah. he was African American. So that uh-huh. was one thing. And then the other one I saw where, you know, some people, for example, they will remove their clothes and then they will use their panties and wash it in the shower and then use that as a scrubber.
Oh, I see.
And I was like, what?
Two birds with one stone?
Yeah. And then you have one person that uses like the, you know, the Italian towel mm-hmm. that we use in Korea. And then someone's like, I never even knew you use that. And then
wow.
there are significant others.
That's funny.
You have to. You got to clean the dead skin, right? And so even something as little as that, because I feel like the first couple didn't make it, you know, now that I,
yeah.
after I was watching it. But are you willing to accept?
That's funny. I have a little story I remember when we're talking about washing international couples. Like
yeah.
I remember when I was a kid we had some of my dad's side of the family over at our house. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what the occasion was, but anyways, I remember, and my dad is African American. I remember my uncle, he came, he asked my mom, and I specifically remember this. He's like, Jung, that's my mom's name. Do you have a washcloth?
Mm-hmm.
I need to wash my face. And, you know, she's like, what? You know, a washcloth, like a little towel.
That?
Do you know what that is?
Like a regular hand towel?
It's pretty much like a small hand towel,
okay.
right? It's usually like if you have a towel set with different sizes, usually like the smallest one. But like, I think any of the black folks listening
yeah.
will probably know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like he's basically asked for that because a lot of black people, African Americans,
yeah.
it's just a thing to use a washcloth to wash their face.
For scrubbing?
I guess you could say, yeah, for scrubbing, exfoliating. I don't know. And it was funny because my mom's like, what? Like she
yeah.
obviously never used anything like that. And I didn't even know what that was, honestly. I
yeah.
mean, I guess my dad, he washed his face with a washcloth, but it's just he never taught me to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that specific moment. It's
yeah.
just funny because that is something that I know that a lot of, at least the African Americans, black people that I, you know, have known growing up throughout the years,
yeah.
they all use washcloths.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
yeah,
don't
see,
use a
exactly.
washcloth.
A little,
I've never seen you use it.
Yeah, I don't use it. I
yeah.
just use like, you know, cream face wash.
Yeah.
And your little exfoliator thing.
yeah.
Yeah, but that's just more of my laziness.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, but…
Yeah. But again, it's these little things.
It's yeah, small
right.
little things. And the key is to not be judgmental
right.
about the little things. Like, why do you use a washcloth?
Exactly.
That's so stupid. I mean, some things might be
hang
stupid.
Hang on. Okay, oh, speaking gosh. Of washcloths, but uh-huh. this is with the dishes. I need to ask your opinion.
Okay.
So one time I was traveling and then the people I was staying with, one girl was washing the dishes and she used a towel, like a little towel to scrub dishes.
Like a regular towel.
Yeah, instead mm-hmm. of a scrubber or a susemi. And I was like, don't you know how dirty that is? How could you wash dishes with the cloth?
Yeah.
But you know, this was something where I was like, oh, no, I draw the line.
Yeah. But the funny thing is like sponges might technically be worse.
I know. That's why I don't use sponges either.
Yeah. I've used them growing up or I should say my mom did.
Yeah. It depends on the sponge.
But also it's like, I think a lot of people just didn't know that like, especially because it's moist and it stays moist and it holds the moisture that it
yeah.
could, you know, breed bacteria because of what you're cleaning.
This is this is the hygiene show now.
It's just different cultural stuff. Like, yeah, I've known, I remember one family that used to use like a regular towel
yeah.
as sort of their sponge with the soap?
I guess it's how well do you clean whatever item it is, to be honest, right? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, my point is acceptance, right?
Yes.
How far are you willing to, what little things are you willing to be flexible on?
Right. Flexible is a good word because that kind of implies that there will be some degree of compromise too. Yeah. Right? Compromise on what you're used to doing and accepting the others or at least meeting halfway.
Yeah.
But you should be able to communicate those things with each other so that you can come to a compromise or, you know, figuring
unless your compromise is to not talk about it at all and then you just keep it deep down inside and then at night you think of fume over it and then the next morning you're okay.
Right. Which is actually
how
some people do it. Right. Especially people who tend to be a little bit more submissive. I'm not saying cultures. I'm saying people who have that submissive personality.
Yeah.
They might do that.
Exactly.
Just to keep the peace. But they're like…
True.
Yeah.
So acceptance. How far are you willing to be flexible?
I think we spent way too much time on that.
Okay. So now let's travel. Where to live? I guess I feel like now it is not as huge of an issue. As it used to be, but it still is a big issue. And I think, especially if we talk about in terms of Korea, especially if you're raising mixed Korean kids, because we had read an article from the Korea Times that came out very recently that was saying the number of biracial families, mixed families in Korea is dropping because it is difficult to raise mixed Korean kids in Korea. Now, of course, we've always known historically, right? At least post-Korean War, up to modern day. Of course, there are difficulties and of varying degrees and all of that is nuanced, as you guys know. But now that begs the question, like, oh, okay, where are you going to raise your kids? Where do you want to settle? Where do you want to live? Because not all places are very open and accommodating to international couples, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so… like with that decision and it's especially once you consider if you want to have a family, raise kids, like just like the trajectories of, you know, your kids' lives and even your lives, of course, that's goes without saying, like it could be totally different.
Totally.
And so, and it's hard to predict what your life would be like, but, you know, thinking about the education and just how Korea views education, the idea of going to school and prizing that and how that's so deeply connected to getting a job versus in the States. Yeah, there is a focus on education, but it's not like in Korea. It's totally different. Mm-hmm. We don't have all of these hagwons or private schools and after school programs like they do in Korea. That's more of a norm versus in the States. And you can go to school and it's more like you could be what you want to be. And, you know, if you don't go to school, it's not the end of the world as long as you can figure out other ways. Whereas in Korea, it's more like, no, you got to make it. So it's a different sort of mindset and pressure. And like, what do you want to expose your kids to?
Right.
What do you want your kids to grow up in? That's a very big, you know, that's a very big thing.
It really is.
Is it going to impact the rest of their lives?
It really, really will. I mean, if we're talking specifically about Korea, how different our lives would have been if we had grown up in Korea, say, as opposed to growing up in the US. So I think… that is something no doubt people should consider. And honestly, people primarily do consider that if they have kids. I'm sure they think like, where's the best place? I hope so too.
Yeah.
The best place to raise a family and all of those. And you take those into consideration. But just coming from our own personal experiences, it does play a big part also in how you view yourself later on in life, how society views you, maybe your own image. But ultimately, and we always say this on the podcast, ultimately it does come down to, I believe, their upbringing of their immediate surroundings. Mm-hmm. And that means your parents, the people who play the most important formative role in their kids' lives. So whether that's your actual parents or siblings or family members, those people, I think raising your kids well to have a good self of image, no matter where they are. But it is still something to think about, where to live, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so just again, lots of things to think about with kids, you know, language, how they're going to be treated in society or viewed, could be good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the things that you want to definitely think about.
Yeah. And so coming with all of this, there is going to be an element of compromise, maybe even sacrifice of giving up something in order to make your relationship work. And whether that means sacrificing important holidays with your family, right? Whether that means sacrificing seeing people for a very long time, whether that means giving up certain foods that you like to eat because you can't buy it where you live now, whether that means sacrificing your time because you also need to study the language so that you can help your kids do well in school, right? So there are a lot of compromises and sacrifices that I think they can be very small to very big that are asked of you if you are in an international relationship. All of it, of course, can be so worth it, obviously. And yeah, it is worth it to a lot of people. But I think that is just something to keep in mind, right? Again, we always say come into these things with a clear eye and as much understanding as you can, because you don't want miscommunication and misunderstanding to lead to resentment and blaming somebody for taking me away from my country, taking away from my family,
right,
forcing me to learn English,
which is definitely,
right?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Which happens. It has definitely happened.
Yeah, and it might rear its head like even decades later in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is important, I think, especially when we see the current trends that have appeared of international couples that glamorize and even fetishize this relationship, it's important to just have a clear view of it. And the last note I wanted to bring up was the CNN article about the Netflix effect.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about it.
So this was a CNN travel article that came up not too long ago. And basically it's saying, like this just came out in August, right? It's saying that there are a lot of Western women in particular traveling to South Korea believing that marrying a Korean man is like the thing, right? Because of how Korean dramas portray it and international couples appearing on YouTube and the glamorization of it. And people don't know really, if you haven't encountered it yet or experienced it in your own family or immediate friends or your own life, how difficult that can be to be in an international relationship. And we are speaking primarily for the sake of potential children, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't let your own misunderstanding and miscommunication and potential resentment then become a burden for your kids later down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a very interesting article though. And one of our friends, a mutual friend, pops up on it. And you can read what he has to say about
it
too.
Yeah, they are quoted in there.
They're quoted in here as well. But yeah, this is the Netflix effect. Why Western women are heading to South Korea in search of love. So you can read that article and come to your own conclusions. Cooks, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about for international couple? And again, quickly though.
Yeah.
I know we're always like, caveat. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not, you know, our point. The point is to talk about the things that are not openly spoken about.
Yeah. And we always come from an angle of wanting to just be honest and real.
Mm-hmm.
But we always want to be balanced. And so my opinion overall is I'm of course for international couples, but you know, there are always challenges that I think should be considered in addition to maybe couples that are from the same culture and, you know, same race or same ethnicity. And so I think it could be a unique thing. I think it could be a fun thing to explore as long as both parties are open. I think that is the key, open and willing to each other.
Mm.
And that will include openness to try each other's foods, to learn each other's languages or communication styles. I mean, that's really just any relationship.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's just an additional layer on top of this. And so I think it's cool. I just don't like the over glamorization of it because I do think it is misleading and it is false. And I don't like anything extreme, but like, you know, the extremity of like, oh, because I see this portrayed in Korean dramas this way, or my favorite K-pop, you know, boy band, they're all so perfect. Like I'm going to go to Korea to find one you're going to be very disappointed because average guy doesn't look like that, you know, or even female.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like,
I like how you're being very fair.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Because I had to learn too. I had certain expectations.
What does that mean? Are you saying your expectations were not met? Is that what you're saying?
It was definitely met, but I'm saying prior to meeting you, who is perfect in every way, you know, I was disappointed. I was like, I can't find my perfect I can't say Nuna, but you know, my what? Perfect.
Were you looking
girl.
For Nuna?
No. I'm just saying there's no like, it's different when a girl says, I'm looking for my oppa.
Oh
like,
yeah.
What does the guy say?
Yeah, you don't really want to say, I'm looking for my yodongsaeng. Like, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But my point is, yeah, it's... If I didn't get in
your
trouble
point,
here.
My is, point is it can be misrepresented in social yes. media and media in general.
Yeah. So yeah. just don't fall prey to that.
Right.
And just don't have a certain type of bias towards something just for the sake of having that bias or because you saw something on TV
yeah,
or
yeah.
something.
My opinion is if you love somebody, you are willing to go to the end of the earth to make this relationship work. So I support healthy couples. That's my final statement. Okay, well, because I said I support healthy couples, it is time to say goodbye. So if you want to write us in, you can, of course, follow us on the Happy Project at Instagram, on YouTube. Stay tuned for a couple of new interviews that are coming out, and they're going to be really, really good. So we're really excited to release those soon. And of course, you can always write in at thehappyproject@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We are The Happy Project.